chest.
Everyone got one. What's your opinion? This is the rare room. Tongues won't be bit. Ain't no rules, just spill it. And anybody can get it. No limit. We get to kill it. You tuning into the thrillers. And no, ain't no stopping. Any topic, even the random.
We get to win.
I hope that you're ready. We entering in the zone soon. We only grown shit. Welcome to the rare room.
Aw, yeah, what's up, y'all? It's your boy, Hilliard Guest, and you guys are listening to the Screenwriters Rant Room. Don't be laughing at me, Jenny.
Dang, yeah. Cool. Cooler than you can imagine.
Okay. But we keep it real, we keep it opinionated, we keep it what, Lisa?
2017.
Oh, yes. We gotta be careful with that.
Last episode, you said 16 again, and I was like, stop.
We made our way to freedom land.
Out of that,
yeah, yeah,
I'm
yeah,
only
yeah.
about 2017, and then I am about
2016.
Good
yes.
Lord,
but that's not.
That's a whole
that's
other
a whole ball. Yes. So y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. On this show, we discuss entertainment, mm-hmm. TV, film, music, culture. I'm gonna sell it today. But our focus is always screenwriting, stories, craft, and shit like that.
Wait. You got to tell them why you had to pause for a second.
Our guest, Jenny Frankfurt, has her little, how old is he? 9-year-old son here. He's got little headphones over there. So, well, I'm just subconscious about it now.
It's okay. I tell you, he lives with me. Okay. All right. And a dog and two cats. Okay. There's enough swearing at everybody to get in order.
Okay, cool.
And I have to apologize every time.
Oh, exactly. Doors, doors.
Do as I say, not as I do.
Mm-hmm. Do as I say, not as I do.
Mm-hmm.
So y'all know how we do it on the Rant Room. We silly as hell in here. So you hear her voice over there laughing.
Hey.
Lisa Bullock.
It's me. Hey, can I give a shout out to Universal FanCon? Mm-hmm. They did their Kickstarter to try to raise money because, you know, in 2018, they're doing their first con.
Right.
And with Black Girl Nerds. No, it's going to be in Baltimore, Maryland in 2018. And I think the initial they were asking for like $25,000. And they made it. Like,
really?
People donated, and it's really cool. And it was funny because they sent out a tweet asking people, like, who would you like to see to come? Mm-hmm. So I was making a whole list of names of everybody. Well,
we should be there doing a panel.
I put our name up there, but I was like, my favorite TV show, I was like, oh, the whole entire Vikings cast, the entire Enter the Badlands cast. Mm-hmm. I was like, you know what? If you're going to ask, I'm just going to, like, put it out there. You just never know.
And different usernames.
Yes!
Names.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
Wow, I didn't know this show was so popular.
Yeah. So it's like
people asking from the same IP address.
Exactly. Weird. That's really weird. So really excited about that because it's like, you know, there's different cons and things, and one of the things that Universal Fan Con wants to do is to be inclusive, and just really bring fan. And like, it was funny because I was talking to my Twitter friends and they were like, well, who would you most want to see? And really, like, honestly, it's the people I follow on Twitter. Yeah. Like, the relationships you make with people, especially those of us who live tweet TV shows that we love.
Yeah.
And you, like, a lot of these people, like, for 3 or 4 years, like, we've never met in person, but we've been following each other. You feel like they're homies and stuff. Yeah. And like when we had the episode when we had Lauren come in.
I met Jenny.
Yeah. And Lauren was like, you know, Canadian buddy, you know, Twitter. And it was like, you meet them and you're like, oh my God, they're just as cool as they are in person there. So like, honestly, I'm really excited about meeting all the people. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping Geek Soul Brother's going to be there. I hope he does something with the... Maybe we can have like a live tweet with all our nerdy sci-fi
Lisa
people.
Lisa is in with the whole
But it's just fun. It's just really regular people who enjoy pop culture and film and TV, and they're just honest about what they like. And it does have an impact, and fans really... That's like when I tell people, if you have a TV show and fans talk about it, whether it's negative or positive...
Sure.
And if there's a fan and they say something negative, don't take it as a negative. Think of it as a critical. Like, they love the show.
Yeah.
Which is why they're saying something.
And that's why they're saying something.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's kind of like that kind of double-edged sword. Because some people are like, oh my God, what's happening? Because you know, Sleepy Hollow just premiered their fourth season. And I'm not going to say anything because it's like, y'all know how I feel.
Yes.
Y'all know how that was my show.
No longer.
It's Abby ain't there. You know, God bless Tom Meissen. Mm-hmm. Much success to him. But I had to notice this. Like, normally we would live tweet the heck out of that show. So I kind of scrolled through the tag on Friday, and I didn't see as many of us tweeting about it. Like, we'll see what happens, but we'll see, you know. But, yeah, so I'm excited about that. So, once again, shout out to Universal FanCon. I'm looking forward to 2018. be able to meet a lot of the Twitter fam and just a lot of the fans who really, like, literally, I have to say this, in 2016 was rough. And literally, thank God for my friends and my Twitter peeps who kept me laughing and a sense of humor. And so, yeah, just keeping it funny. Because it was, I mean, we lost so many icons. Mm-hmm. And so, and it's not because, you know, you lose people.
Yeah, people die.
But there is, but there was an inordinate amount of icons. Like, when I say iconic, I'm talking about people who childhoods, like, who impacted people to the point that people grew up to be who they were because of these people.
Bowie, Prince,
Florence Henderson.
Yeah. Okay, look, Mrs. Like, Brady. Yeah. 2016 came from Mrs. Brady. Pork chops and applesauce making Mrs. Pork Brady.
Pork chops and applesauce.
Come on.
Why do we all know that one?
Marsha. You know, it's like, how
I know.
And then Carrie Fisher and then Carrie Fisher's mama.
Oh, no, that was heartbreaking. That was like.
Dreamy.
Oh my God.
If you could not deal, I mean.
That was like, that was done. What? I was over. Mm-hmm. And it was just, I was done.
I was already weak from George Michael.
Listen, one of my crushes, too. And this is how important these are. And I know we're going to get on top of folks, don't worry. But this is important. Y'all need to understand.
Okay, this is game.
Look, in terms of men and music, in terms of men who had an impact in terms of what manhood is
three men, what you can be, three of them who
just gender blended and changed what masculinity meant. True. You know, like if they would have took Boy George, I think I would have just went outside and jumped in front of the street.
Oh, yeah, I would have been done.
You know, but to have like all those three of those men were so pivotal to what made up who I am. I'm just talking about musically, you know, but I'm just talking about as a fan in terms of their personal life and what they represented. Mm-hmm. That was rough. Like, and these bitches had the nerve to spread themselves out. Bowie's like, I'm checking out in January.
Today's Bowie's birthday.
And then Prince was like, April, around my brother's birthday and my birthday in the spring. And then George leaves on Christmas. Like, bitch, what you doing?
On Christmas.
You know, and each of them had a song.
Every year we're going to have to deal with that. Each of them had a song.
Like, George Michael had This Last Christmas.
Yes.
Prince had Sometimes It Snows in April. And then David Bowie.
Lonely Christmas, what he had, too.
Little Drummer Boy, or what's it? Right? Little Drummer Boy. That's true.
So it's like, all of them checked, and it was like that was huge. And for a lot of people, it's going to be hard for a lot of people to get over that. And just like I said, just so many iconic people who changed lives. So, you know, it's good to be in 2017. It's going to be good to see the Twitter peeps who actually helped us, you know, push each other up and remember, hey, we're still here. And a lot of us who are artists, who are writers, producers, for us to just keep on keeping on.
Mm-hmm. Creativity is how many of us can deal with
exactly
that kind of grief. Mm-hmm. I mean, I think a lot is going to come from those deaths, from the political world right now, from the cultural world, from, you know, a lot of, you know, stuff that's that occurred in the last year, we're going to see a lot of really creative material coming out of that in whatever form, whether it be musical or film or TV or writing. It's, you know, you need, the world actually needs that to feel itself again sometimes.
I will say this, that what did make me have a little smile when they did have the service for Carrie Fisher, they put her in the Prozac.
Saw her mom,
they're buried together. Like, they have some of their ashes inside the Prozac pill, and the ashes spread out other places. But it was such a Carrie Fisher thing to do. And Carrie Fisher, like, you know, a lot of people just know her as Princess Leia. I know her
because she's one of the best writers in the business.
And not only that, she was one of the first artists when I was a kid who openly talked about mental illness, who talked about being an artist and dealing. And for a person who deals with depression like me, a lot of my artist friends who deal with that kind of stuff, for her to openly talk about it, to have a sense of humor about it, and to go out, you know, in a way that made us laugh in a way, and just think, wow, you know what, she did the damn thing. And as sad as we are, her impact is never going to be forgotten. So for her to leave me at the end of the year, I was like, oh no. But then when I saw the family and how the family was like, look, we thank you, hey, we're gonna be all right, you know. And then just kind of like, all right, I can deal with 2017.
As sad as that was, I would like to have attended that that funeral or whatever, because Meryl Streep sang, what did she sing? Of course, now my mind
she sang?
Blank.
I'm going to look that
Meryl
up.
Meryl Streep at the funeral or at the wake or whatever sang Happy Days Are Here Again.
Oh, really?
I would have paid money for that.
Yes. Man. Yes.
I mean, wow.
Yes. So, hey, okay. It's New Year.
Let's do it.
Arts, artists, writers, producers, yes. Hey, let's do it. Keep
exactly.
it keeping.
On that note, so y'all know how we're doing on the Rant Room. If you guys are grown, let's go ahead and get it in.
On Meryl Streep notes.
On Meryl Streep notes.
So you guys hear her voice. That is our friend, our new friend, Jenny Frankford. We've been trying to get her on the show for almost three years.
No.
Like she's busy or something.
No, she is.
And
yikes.
So let me just introduce her, everybody.
Really
former literary manager, agent. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you call it now?
Producer. I run the Finish Line Script Competition, mm-hmm. which mm-hmm. is we're in our second year, we're getting our feet wet. Mm-hmm. We had a great first year. And I work with writers, I do script consulting, and mm-hmm. I run this competition.
Cool.
And that's... But I have a long background.
Yeah, well, let's go into your background a little bit. Yeah. Let's mm-hmm. tell the kids where you're from and like how you got into the game in the first place.
I was born and raised in New York, mm-hmm. and that's where I started my career.
You act
career.
Like you're from New York, too.
Yeah. Thank you. Best compliment anyone could give me.
Attitude. I see you, girl.
I miss it. I'd love to live back there. But, you know, I knew it was weird. Like, from an early age, I knew I wanted to represent people. When I was, like, nine, mm-hmm. I would
wait,
go to the movies.
Wait, she's 9 years old. Most people, I want to be the star of things. She's like, I'm going to represent
people.
Well, this
people. Is what happened. Mm-hmm. I would go to the movies, and I was a movie buff. My family, you know, we had, like, the 84th Street on Broadway, mm-hmm. which used to be like two movies, then it was fourplex, now it's like a 12-plex, yeah. Okay? That's how old I am. But, so we'd go to the movies, and I'd be like, I don't know, something in some... You know, I don't think this is the right role for that actor. What the heck? Precocious much?
She was going there with it.
Like, I don't think this role, I think they would be better suited if they, I mean, I'm not joking. Mm-hmm. It's just not like in retrospect.
Yeah.
At that moment, I would have those thoughts, which is pretty weird. But luckily, I knew what to do about mm-hmm. it. So I mean, that never changed. I always wanted to do that. And I went to amazing. NYU. I went to film school.
Okay.
I went to NYU Tisch. And then I started...
Were you thinking you were going to write or direct or some of the time? What were you doing?
I think at that point, I thought I was going to maybe, produce. I don't know. Okay. You know, I grew up with... I was very blessed to grow up with the director, Arthur Penn, who directed Bonnie and Clyde.
Yes.
And, you know, real icon. And his wife was my mom's best friend. So we were very close. Okay. And we saw them all the time. So he influenced me a lot, mm-hmm. And he actually helped me get into film school because my grades weren't there.
Make a call for you.
Yes.
He wrote a nice little note. But anyway, so I kind of was on his, you know, I just like, I want to be him mm-hmm. kind of thing. And then I was like, no, I don't want to be him. And I didn't really want to be in school, mm-hmm. but stay in school. But so I switched my major to cinema studies, mm-hmm. which allowed me to just watch movies all day and then write about them.
Oh, okay.
Which is what I do now, mm-hmm. pretty much. Is what I read scripts. I read scripts.
Mm-hmm. Younger. Ooh.
Yeah, mm-hmm. I read scripts and I write about them mm-hmm. now. And so it, you know, kind of found its path. I started temping. I got like an internship mm-hmm. at the William Morris Agency in New York, mm-hmm. which led to a full-fledged job. Mm. And I started working there. And then for the head of the theater department, so mm-hmm. I got my feet wet. Like,
nice.
So you got to see the best writers
stuff
in the world.
The best, yeah. And the man that I worked for, who's still an agent, not there though, who's one of the, you know, pretty much one of the best theater man agents there is, would make sure that his writers were not starving. Hmm. He's like, you can write your plays. I mean, mm-hmm. that's what he did. Mm-hmm. That's his passion. So he's mm-hmm. like, we want you to write theater. But it's a possibility you're not going to make a living writing theater. Mm-hmm. So you're going to write movies and TV too. Mm-hmm. And that's
he was ahead
a
of
lot
him.
Of them. Mm-hmm. Some of those people I worked with, Warren Light, who mm-hmm. just, you know, finished, what, I don't know, 10 years
yeah.
of executive producing
yeah.
Law and Order mm-hmm. SVU.
Yeah.
And in that time, won a Tony for his Broadway show, which his name is escaping me. Sorry, mm-hmm. Warren. You know, John Robin Bates, Bill Master Simone, mm-hmm. Eric Bogosian, you know,
oh
I mean,
God,
tons
Eric.
And tons. Yeah, mm-hmm. talk radio. Mm-hmm. So,
you.
Like, you know, that's where I got my feet wet.
Okay.
But also in that idea of you got to make a living being a writer.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can do you can do it all kind of type of thing. You got to be talented enough to do yes. it all, of course. It's not that easy to just say, well, we're going to get you, you know, some TV work right. too, or movie work. But and I did that, and then I came here. I worked mm-hmm. in ACM, and then I started thinking, I want to manage, because I feel like I want to be more involved mm-hmm. in the process and not just pitching and, you know, kind of rolling down a list. Although I worked with some like major people, mm-hmm. which was great because right. I saw things at the very top level of mm-hmm. movie stardom and high level directors and writers mm-hmm. and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So that was really good. And, you know, some of those, I mean, they're all Oscar winners today, most of them that mm-hmm. I worked with at that time. Or been nominated. So that was good to get mm-hmm. that high level. Right. And then to also, you know, work with some people where you kind of got, you're down in the ditches with them, mm-hmm. you know, scrambling.
Mm-hmm. Baby so, writers and whatnot. Mm-hmm.
Baby writers, baby, or actors who were auditioning, not just yeah. getting offers mm-hmm. and seeing the, and just watching the whole, every mm-hmm. bit of the process. And then I got into management because I really wanted to work, you know, more directly, more closely, and maybe produce, which mm-hmm. you can only do as a manager, not an agent. So, you know, I started working in management, and then I became head of the literary department at Handprint, which is no mm-hmm. longer yeah. in business, mm-hmm. but run yeah. by Benny Medina, mm-hmm. Jeff Pollock. And, you know, we work with J-Lo and a lot of people that, you know, were were brands. Mm-hmm. That got, I was really interested in that for a while. Like, how do you brand somebody?
There was a time when everybody started branding.
Right.
People,
yeah. Like, right.
So you were part of that.
I was, yeah. I mean, mm-hmm. well, I don't know if I was part of it, but I was there when it was happening. And, you know, but there was a company that was focused on that. And not, well, it was too, it was very focused on that. So mm-hmm. being head of the literary department wasn't really the, mm-hmm. the most important part mm-hmm. of it. It was, but it taught me an awful lot mm-hmm. and it got me, you know, kind of where I needed to go. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we work with J-Lo and Will Smith and Sean Combs or whatever he calls himself these days. And Diddy Puffy Jacket.
It's just dragging now. Just dragging.
Stop. You don't have to make an announcement every time. And,
he
you
took
know,
the magic out of everything.
Yeah.
Okay. Just dragging.
Mariah Carey. That was interesting. Mm-hmm. You know, but I mean, you know, so it was great. Mm-hmm. And then I went off on my own and did that for a while, for a long time. And then I decided I kind of burned out on the business mm-hmm. a little bit and wanted to really just work with writers, like mm-hmm. just, but I didn't want to be responsible for, I'm going to be honest, I'm responsible for them making money, making their living. It's hard, mm-hmm. it's hard out there. Mm-hmm. And it was not that the writers I represented weren't extremely talented and mm-hmm. worked, but you know, I mean, I needed to make a living. They needed to make a living. And I just thought, you know, I'm just tired of this. I want to do something different. I want to work with writers in a different capacity. And I realized that the best thing that I could do was critique writing.
So that was a strength you always had all along.
It was always there, mm-hmm. and it didn't get overshadowed by everything else in the business and stuff like that. But I realized, like, you know, when I found myself not being so happy doing mm-hmm. the management as much anymore mm-hmm. after, you know, a long time, by the way, this mm-hmm. was like 18 years of doing definitely. All of this, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. that I was like, well, where are my strengths? What is the strength? What makes me happy? Mm-hmm. And what makes me happy is reading writers and helping them. And mm-hmm. that kind of naturally, though not quickly, turned into creating this writing competition. Okay. So that's
so tell us about this competition.
All right, well,
let's get in.
Because, you know, the people listening to our show, it's like any type of outlet to get some writing, get their writing saying, we want to know about it.
Well, this is actually, I'm really proud of this competition because it's different. And let me tell you, we just started our second year. Mm-hmm. We're in our early bird submission phase.
This
right
one y'all
now.
Should be submitting.
Yeah, so this is a good time to do it. And I'll tell you, I'll explain why it's important to do it as early as possible. But early bird lasts, by the way, until February 17th, and then the competition ends on June 13th. Okay. So there's still a lot of time. Okay. Mm-hmm. But this is the only competition, and I mean it when mm-hmm. I say it. It's not just, you know, hype. But it's the only competition where you can enter... Mm-hmm. get notes after you've entered, rewrite your script, and then rewrite, I mean, then and then resubmit for free.
What?
What?
No fee.
Well, no fee.
No,
to,
I mean, no, no extra fee to, re- fee to, re- no fee to resubmit.
Nope.
Wow.
Okay, there ain't no other competition.
Okay.
No other competition. We, wow. See, we are not out there to mm-hmm. gouge you writers. A mm-hmm. lot of writers have real, you know, ideas. Oh, yeah. So, you know, there's two, it seems like there's a couple of groups of writers. One mm-hmm. are like total, like, competition fiends, which mm-hmm. is the ones that we mm-hmm. are, you know, we obviously like. And then there's a whole group that's like, competitions or scams and all of that. And I get that, mm-hmm. you know, because some people don't run competitions properly right. and take a lot, make, you know, spend, mm-hmm. Charge a lot of money and you don't get a lot back. Mm-hmm. That's not us. Mm-hmm. And I would never make that us. And mm-hmm. it was really important that it not be us, so that we made it so that we gave away as much as we could. Mm-hmm. So the reason it's a good idea to enter, and you can enter your script as is. You don't need. You don't have to
features,
get notes.
Pilots, everything.
Features, pilots. Yep. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You don't have to enter. You don't have the. You don't have to get notes. Mm-hmm. Notes are a little more expensive, obviously, than just entering as a true. Regular fee. But not. They're nowhere close to what I charge for script mm-hmm. consultation or anybody who's nobody. Worth their salt. Mm-hmm. You know, is going to mm-hmm. give you good script consultation charges. So, and when you get notes, you're automatically entered into the competition. Okay. So it's like. You don't have to enter and you know, all right. of these separate things. And oh my God, it's adding up. It's adding up.
Right.
We give you 6 pages of notes.
That's good.
Mm-hmm. Script consultants who work for the major script competitions, mm-hmm. some of the major agencies, mm-hmm. CIA, ICM, TV networks, mm-hmm. Movie studios. I mean, you know, If you think I want to let's say I want to win Nickel, mm-hmm. you know the Nickel Fellowship.
Mm-hmm. We both have been in Nickel. Mm-hmm.
Okay, you want to win Nickel? All right, all of our script consultants read for Nickel. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to get you're not going to, you know, correct. If you win, it's not, you know, it's not the academy behind you. Mm-hmm. We have 25 wow. mentors that's in good. Film and television, and I'm not talking like the assistant of mm-hmm. of a literary agent, which by the way is not a bad way to go, because mm-hmm. that got to be nice to those people. Got to be nice to those people. I was those people for a long time. Mm-hmm. We're talking about Poppy Hanks, who produced Fences this year.
Yep.
Hello, good luck out there. Talking about, Chris Salvatore. I'm just putting, everybody's as important, of course, but I'm just giving out some names.
Right.
Chris Salvatore, who was the HBO exec on The Night Of this year.
Yes.
Love that show.
Wasn't that awesome?
Oh, you know? I want to write on that show.
Yeah.
Love that show.
And I don't know, I'm thinking who else? Matthew Carnahan, who mm-hmm. created and ran the show of House of Lies, mm-hmm. Don Cheadle on Showtime. I mean, these are top level. I mean, then we've got 11 representatives.
Okay, good.
Managers, agents, and actually an attorney, because mm-hmm. everybody needs an attorney.
Yeah. Yep.
And all of our reps, I mean, I just threw out some names, but you're all important to me.
Ginny, why are you mentioning me?
Ginny, I did not hear my name.
But point is that each one who has committed to being a part of our competition is open to mentoring mm-hmm. the winner of the competition.
Oh, okay.
So, you know, if you're, you know, if you win and you want, like, Fences is your favorite movie, and, you know, Charles King, who runs Macro Ventures, mm-hmm. who produced it, and along with, and Poppy, who mm-hmm. runs Macro Ventures with Charles, mm-hmm. you know, are your people, then you have that opportunity to have Poppy become your mentor.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, we're not talking like they read it and that's it. Mm-hmm. And if they don't like it, you're going to meet with them, and you're going to stay in touch with them, and they're going to read your next script.
Wow!
And this is what's
happening.
You're going to have a relationship, mm-hmm. and it's 25 people in L.A., London, and Canada.
Because London
We got so many international submissions last year.
That's great.
That and I worked for a very long time in London, so I have a lot of contacts there. That was my niche, was bringing British and Australian, European people over, really talented people, to try and break them in here as well. But so I upped like to 4 reps in London.
Wow.
And one in Canada, who's kind of, I think, one of the top literary people there. And mm-hmm. so if you can't meet them in person, meet them on the phone. But we got so many, or Skype,
yeah.
we got so many people from other countries, probably mm-hmm. like half of them.
That's wow. awesome.
See, I don't,
which
you
is
don't hear
awesome.
That.
That's, that, well, you do in you do in bigger competitions, yeah, but I don't know if you do in the smaller mm-hmm. ones. I don't know yeah. why that happened, but let me tell
I
you
think
what
it's great,
I think
regardless.
It's great.
Yeah,
it's great. I mean, first of all, you know, well, it's great. I want it to be an international competition. Mm-hmm. The weirdest thing and the most wonderful thing happened, and I don't say this for any other reason, because what we're looking for is the best script. Mm-hmm. We're not looking for the most commercial script, not looking for something that's going to, you know, be the next Star Wars. If it is, great.
Right.
If that's the best script, then wonderful. But we're sure. not going to say, right. like, this wasn't really good, but I can yeah. see that it,
right.
you know. We really, we're there for writers. And that's... you know, that's what's important. Mm-hmm. It's not about just the hook, although that's obviously important. It's not just about the commercial aspect. That's mm-hmm. important. But our three winners last year, grand prize, first and second runner up, were all from out of the country. And at first I was like, can I do this? And I was like, yeah, I can do this. First of all,
best.
It's my competition.
Right.
Secondly,
secondly,
this is integrity. This mm-hmm. is the best scripts. Mm-hmm. Maybe the fourth person would have been, I think, probably was an American, mm-hmm. but that's not how it worked out,
yeah.
you know?
Yeah.
So our winner last year was from Liverpool mm-hmm. in London and in the UK, and I guess that's kind of why we get a lot of people from London. But yes, I'm not saying
we
I really want people.
We have a lot of listeners over there, too.
Do you? Oh, awesome. Listeners. Well, I don't want... I mean, I'm just saying everybody's welcome. Mm-hmm. This is not, you know, mm-hmm. and just because you're from... Turkey, mm-hmm. and we did have somebody from Turkey who was a semifinalist.
Right.
Yeah, who was a finalist, a semifinalist. Excuse me. Doesn't mean you don't have a chance.
Yeah. I love
and
that.
That is, you know, something I want to be real
I
clear about.
That.
It's about the script.
It's on the page.
It's about
yeah.
the script. I don't
mm-hmm.
care where you live.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So first for the grand prize winner was Charlie Jones from Liverpool. Mm-hmm. Second, first runner.
She went to the accent.
I know you always did the accent. From Liverpool.
I can't do I can't do a Liverpoolian accent. But he could.
But they sound,
that
they
John,
sound a
that
little
John
bit more.
John Lennon picture over there. He could do
yeah,
it.
Yeah, yeah.
But
it's more
second,
northern.
He was from, wasn't he really from Liverpool?
Yeah, but it's more
yeah.
northern.
Oh, right,
from
okay.
London.
Oh
all.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Oh yeah. That's true. Second, first runner up from India, which of course has a burgeoning
nice.
Film industry. And third or second runner-up from Australia.
Hmm. Nice.
So
I like how you moved that around.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. yeah. Well, we didn't discriminate.
And it wasn't intentional.
And it wasn't intentional.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
And it was hard. I mean, I didn't choose the finals. Mm-hmm. We have three industry judges yeah. who choose the finalists out of the top, you know, several mm-hmm. scripts that get the highest, you know, kind of marks mm-hmm. as we go, whether it be from the third draft you submit or just one that you submit and you don't submit again, you mm-hmm. know, and you don't buy the notes. Mm-hmm. And we had a bunch of people who got notes from us and rewrote and rewrote and rewrote and got more notes from us and rewrote and rewrote. And some people got one set of notes. Some people got five sets of notes.
Really? Mm-hmm. So you just keep getting
it's
notes?
It's like working with a development executive.
Wow.
And you work with the same person over right. and over. So they are there like
right.
your producer. Like, mm-hmm. we're going to get this in shape to
wow.
be the best script possible. Is it going to win?
There
that doesn't
no
matter.
That,
I mean, there
I'm
is
telling you, there's nothing like that.
There's
like.
Nothing, but also there's nothing that says that if you buy five sets of notes, you're going to win,
no.
by the way. I'm just
right.
saying.
Right.
There's nothing that will make you win except the best script.
The best script.
You know, and we're going to help you get there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you something else that
sure,
it happened
sure.
interestingly, and then I'll let you speak. Hilliard.
I got questions for you.
I got passion about this. I got some serious passion about this competition.
Mm-hmm.
We had people who ended up placing as semifinalists who then took the script that we worked on with them and went to win other competitions.
Oh, yeah. I
so
that.
We
yeah.
helped them.
We've done
and that
it
was
for
part.
People.
Yeah, I'm sure. That was really important. And we were like, I mean, that's part of it.
Right.
It's not like all about us. It's partly
correct.
About us. Hello. I mean,
mm-hmm.
you know, we'd like to make a living doing this. We mm-hmm. want it to be huge.
Mm-hmm.
But it was about, you know, they took it. They worked with us like script consultants.
Mm-hmm.
They were entered into our competition so
mm-hmm.
they could win just like anybody else. I mean, everybody's equal. Doesn't matter if you buy notes or not, like I said. And then if, you know, when they didn't win, they would go somewhere else or equally just at the final draft that they felt it was the best. And we were like, this is good. You know, like, I don't have any more notes to give you or, you know, do it, you know, go for it. They won other competitions or they placed really high. Mm-hmm. And I'm really proud of that. Mm-hmm. I'm just like, you know, this is what I wanted.
I love it.
About helping writers, you know, it doesn't have to be for us. It has to be for them.
Right.
You know?
Right.
We want a profit too. Not to lie. But
you have to.
It's a business. It's a business. Exactly.
It really is.
But, you know, if we can, you know, so if you go to our website and you look in the testimonials, you'll see a lot of varied happiness of different kinds of, you know, how they use the competition. Mm-hmm. Whether they got notes or not, or whether they went ahead and won elsewhere, or the ones that did win. And Charlie's still meeting with the... Last year we had 21 pros. Now we have 25. He's still meeting with the last couple because, you know, it takes time. Mm-hmm. And this week. And he's about... fingers crossed he's about to be signed by one of the UK agents.
That's really important. You know, I've won a lot of competitions, too, back when I did that stuff. And you get on these meetings with these people, and everybody's like... thinking because you won that they're supposed to buy your script.
Oh, no.
No, it's a meeting.
It's a meeting. It's a, hey, it's what you make of it.
What else do you get? It's never about that script.
Right.
No, yeah, it's almost always, you're right, about what's next. Mm-hmm. And, you know, what you also get, I mean, you get a lot with our competition, but one thing is that you get our mentorship. Mm-hmm. And even people who were semifinalists, you know, we've chatted with since then and given them advice on how to move ahead and stuff like that, because... Why wouldn't we? Mm-hmm. I mean, but our three winners get, I don't know, mentorship as long as they want it, pretty much, as long as we're around. Mm-hmm. And they get chomping some red vines over there. And they get free script consultations. So, you know, we work with them to get that next script in the best shape possible so that they can continue and be able to continue those relationships in a positive way. And it's been great. I mean, Charlie's had a great time, and he's met with people who then introduce him to other people, and that's how it works. So he's had more than 30 meetings, I'd say, out of having one in September.
That's good.
Oh, yeah, and he was
amazing.
Yeah, it's amazing.
And it's coming into the season when everybody's out of town too. Okay. So the fact that he still managed to
still doing it.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I mean, I think that's why they're being squeezed in this coming week. But you know, one's in the UK, one's here. But
is he coming here?
No, I mean, I think
he
wants
here,
to.
We'll have him on the show.
Oh, yeah,
just
be awesome.
You know, talk from his point of view.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. So, yeah. I would love that. You know what's amazing is this. I don't know who Charlie Jones was when I read his script. Turns out he's 23.
Really?
This was his first script.
Wow.
And when I called him and I said, guess what? Hello. You are the grand prize winner. He's like, I'm about to start my master's degree at the University of Leeds next week. What the heck am I supposed to do now? And he's studying race relations at the University of Leeds in Leeds in the UK.
Can you tell us what his script was about at all?
Oh, sure. It was... I'll tell you what it was about, because this is sort of what we're looking for, and not his script we're not looking for, but why he won. Some people want to know, how do you win? What are you really looking for? Okay. Charlie wrote an allegory of Faust about slavery.
Really?
Wow. Yeah.
See, I want to read this one.
Okay. It's like, what?
I couldn't stop reading it.
Really?
And I had, you know, obviously as the one of the heads of the competition, I had to read it many times to make sure it was right to move on. And then when the judges all chose it as the first one, you don't
allegory.
Forget about it.
Wow.
A Faustian allegory of slavery in the, you know, antebellum South.
Really? Yeah. That's totally
okay. I would read that. Like,
like, I don't know that movie's going to get made, that script's going to get made, but that wasn't the point.
Right.
Like, this guy can write.
Yeah.
And I couldn't stop thinking about it. That is what we're looking for.
Okay.
Whether it's something we can't stop laughing about, something we're on the edge of our seat about, something that makes us cry, something that, like, the action is so amazing that we can visualize it while we're reading it, that's what we're looking for. And I don't care what the genre is. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have to be drama. Everybody mm-hmm. thinks, can anything other than a drama win?
Right. People always think it has to be a drama that's going to win. It's not true.
Yeah. It has to be the best of what you can write.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right.
If you make me laugh, I love you, and I will make the script win. No, I won't make it win, but I will make sure that, you know.
You'll remember.
I'll remember it, mm-hmm. and all of the scripts that placed, I remember. I remember vividly.
Mm. Lisa and I were talking the other day. I'm doing a rewrite on the Black Wall Street movie, and page one rewrite, and Lisa and I, we sat in here, and I pitched her the whole story, and we kind of worked on it together, and then I went off and wrote. Yeah. Now, so I showed Lisa, what was the first 50, 60 pages of it, like a few weeks ago?
Yeah.
And we were talking about the difference between what we talked about and what I executed.
Mm.
Can you tell her a little bit? I can't remember how you put it, but there was something you were talking about how, like, wow, we were talking about doing this and you went that way. Uh-huh. There was something in the nature you were talking about. Do you remember?
It's like, I'm trying to remember. What it might have been like, where we had something where it's like we thought we might, you know, this might work best for it. But then once you started marrying and thinking about it, you just took it to a different spot and it works.
Yeah.
And you weren't wedded to that thing, mm-hmm. you know? Like you have the outline and you're doing all this stuff, but it's like, you know what? Let's see the story. And it was like it was like you were channeling the story. Like, let me see where it's going to go, where it needs to go.
I was telling, it's the first script I ever wrote, and I've written over 35 of them. It's the first one I've ever written where I went off the outline, mm-hmm. put the outline down.
Interesting.
It's just, I literally sit here, I say a prayer to the spirit, whatever the fuck it is, and I just go, and I never do that.
That's mm-hmm. really interesting, because I was actually this morning having a chat with somebody on Hello, child. I was having a chat with somebody on Facebook about, somebody was like, do we have to outline? I was like, it's pretty important to outline.
It's very important.
You know, mm-hmm. and most notes that I give say, you know, when there's a problem, it's usually comes back to the fact that the script's not being outlined. And somebody was like, well, sometimes people, you know, I know that there are people who just write. And I'm like, and I think that the people who do that are lucky that they got it right.
Mm-hmm.
That's not mm-hmm. something I would like hold steady and fast to. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting because I also got feedback on some notes that I gave somebody
mm-hmm.
who said, I didn't know I could change my mind. It was really interesting. Like mm-hmm. everybody told me this character needs to act this way and act this way and act in a very sort of predictable, like, this is who I am, so mm-hmm. this is who she should be, so don't go off the beaten track, and mm-hmm. don't, you know. I was like, what? I mean, are mm-hmm. you kidding me?
Mm-hmm.
There are only so many stories.
Right,
yeah,
right,
only so many stories out there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And they all have to find their individual way. So mm-hmm. I guess what it comes down to, and what you're saying as well, is you got to find your voice.
Right.
Correct.
Writers who have a strong voice stand out. Even mm-hmm. through the muck of the transition from script to screen, that voice still remains, mm-hmm. even when other people get their fingers in mm-hmm. the pie. And
well, the thing that about that, though, that's missing from the point that I was talking about was I went off the outline, but I also understand story and structure.
Right.
So I'm aware.
Okay, so of course. Right. You're not I'm aware of where I need to be.
Right.
You know, so I'm not just willy-nilly just writing.
Oh, no, I didn't think so. I just thought it was interesting that.
And I always see, we talked about the beginning, we talked about what happens at the end. So I know what happens. And sometimes I'll start working backwards, and then it's a puzzle.
Yeah.
You don't have to write in order.
Mm-hmm. No, no.
You know what I mean? So mm-hmm. you can write it all over the place. As she knows how to write anyway.
Right, right.
Because I'll wake up and be like, I got to write
this scene right now.
You know what I mean?
And you do it.
Well, they say if you know what your, you know, once you know what your character's journey is, you write it.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's mm-hmm. your job mm-hmm. is writing it. And it can go off in any direction. Well, what the heck do I know what's going to happen once we leave this podcast? I don't know what I think I know what my journey is supposed to
you
be.
Hope.
But
you hope.
I hope I do. But it might take a turn and it mm-hmm. might be for the better. Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. So mm-hmm. I think that's awesome.
Yeah.
Because it just, it's not like the rigidity. You have to be able to. And that's about, you know, rewriting, getting notes. And understanding that they're not criticism. What are you watching over there, dude?
He's watching videos.
Laughing over there. you know, that notes, and we write our notes, and I read every set of notes that goes out because... Mm-hmm.
Well, they represent you.
Well, they represent us, yes. Mm-hmm. And I want to make sure that they're written properly in a way that encourages the writer. Correct. I mean, we are a no bullshit script writing, you know, script notes place.
But there's no reason to be mean about it.
No, there's no reason to be mean about it. You just have to say what you need to say, but in the appropriate way. So, but we don't fool around. We're not there to make you feel better. We're there to make, you know, necessarily. I don't mean that in a mean way. I mean, like, we're not going to praise things that aren't working just so you come and enter our competition you know, blah, blah, feel good about yourself. We want you to write your best work. If you don't want to write your best work, that's up to you. Yeah. But we're going to give you the notes that lead you to that place.
Let's talk about one of my favorite subjects. And I know it's one of yours. Let's talk about rewriting.
Yeah.
What do you think are some of the main elements in when it comes to rewriting for you?
Well, I mean, first of all, I know people have a real love-hate relationship with rewriting. Maybe it's not love. Maybe there's no love.
Isn't my first draft perfect? What are you talking about?
You know, kill your darlings, kill your darlings, kill your darlings. But listen, what do I think about rewriting? It's essential. You cannot do it. You cannot get to where you need to go without rewriting.
No.
Just like you're saying, Hilliard, like you got your first, you know, you're doing now a page one rewrite. So you wrote a whole script and now you're starting over, you know, not just going back and fixing this scene or that character arc or that story arc. Mm-hmm. You've got a whole new set of eyes on it. Doesn't mean you've changed what you want it to be. It's just how it's going to evolve, you know, to that place.
Yeah.
And I think that rewriting, you know, is a we try at least to make it a really collaborative process. You know, in fact, people as they're rewriting can sort of ask their script consultants in the competition questions, you know, through email, and we'll pass them on, and they'll say, you know, they're not involved to the point where they influence the outcome, obviously. But I'm sorry.
Her son is just smacking those little red vines.
Smacking these red vines. Who raised this child?
Is that your baby?
Little badass kids in here.
Anyway,
he is content.
Yes, he is very happy to be here today. Listen, I mean, if you outline properly, the rewriting process is a lot easier.
Totally,
that is the key.
Yes.
You have to create character bios. You have to make sure you know how your lead character pretty much relates to every other character in the story, how the A story and the B story work, or how the story arcs start and end, when the conflicts come and go. You know, to me, one of the notes that we give the most on rewriting and taking that second look is... And which I think is actually the key to a great script and therefore potentially winning, whether it be our competition or others, is the emotional connection to the theme.
Yes.
That is what script writing really is about, unless you're just sort of writing some sort of, you know,
I think
something you don't care that much about, you know, just putting it down on the page and hoping people enjoy it. Theme and emotional arcs are inherent to a good script.
Sorry,
and that is it.
I swear, it's probably one of the top three questions I'm always asked.
Really?
What's the theme?
Oh, yeah.
Not from shit that I write, but like, well, what do you mean when you say theme? And I always say this, and we talk about it all the time. I always say this. You ever go to the movies and you come out going, the fuck was that about? They didn't know what the theme was about.
Right.
Because
they
jumped around with what it was about. It was about love. Then it was about hate. Then it was about, like, no, bitch.
What is? And what's important that people, I think a lot of people don't realize unless they've, you know, gotten it, is that every movie, every genre has a theme.
Yes.
Like, and I always use this example. I probably have to find a new one soon because it's going to get old. But but it really worked for me, which was, you know, The Revenant. That was not, that movie was about love and survival and how that worked. That's how I perceived it.
Okay.
You could also perceive it as this big action adventure movie where the guy, you know, ran through the snow and killed people and lived in a, in a, I don't know, cow or whatever for a while. I don't remember a what
horse?
That was.
A horse, like
yeah. Gutted a horse and everything. But he did it because they killed his son.
Mm-hmm.
And so
everything
that happened yes. after that, all of the survival, all of the pain,
mm-hmm.
all of the retribution and, you know, everything he got mm-hmm. after killing, mm-hmm. you know, the guy was because of his son.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the theme. That's the, for me.
Mm-hmm.
And every, you might not have, I think I cry. I mean, it was a while since I cried at The mm-hmm. Revenant. I mean, if you're crying at a movie, it's working.
Correct. Mm-hmm.
It's working.
If you're laughing in a movie,
if you're
it's working.
Laughing mm-hmm. in a movie, it's working. Somebody posted on something. How many scenes does it have? Is this on some website? How many scenes does it have to be funny for it to be a comedy? I said, if you have to ask that question, you ain't doing it right. Like, you're not, it's not working.
That's hilarious.
If you have to ask, you can't afford.
Oh, okay. It's like,
if you have to ask how much, you can't afford it.
Right, right.
Yeah, so it's like everything, and that's probably the biggest. Mm-hmm. There are two. There are two notes that I probably give the most towards rewriters. One is that, which mm-hmm. is you've got to connect your every emotional arc mm-hmm. to the theme. You've mm-hmm. got to know. If you can't think of what theme as the word means, think of what is the meaning here?
Mm-hmm.
What is the magic that mm-hmm. comes from it? Mm-hmm. What is that underlying emotion mm-hmm. that you're going for? Is it... I mean, revenge is a huge theme. That's
huge.
Not like a happy emotion
correct.
Or anything, or mm-hmm. not about love or anything, but it's about, you mm-hmm. know, it's a passionate,
mm-hmm.
it's mostly something passionate,
right.
whether it be negative or positive.
True.
So, and that's true of conflict, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, most conflict is, it's all emotional, really, mm-hmm. unless, you know, even if it's somebody stole your money and you have to get it back, it's fear of, you know, poverty or
right.
fear of whatever, of not being mm-hmm. in control. So, that's one, and that's really important because mm-hmm. that's what makes the meaning of the script matter. Mm-hmm. Second is every scene matters.
Yes.
And I don't think people
get that. Can you say it one more time? One more again,
every
please.
Every scene matters. Mm-hmm. And that, there
but
can
what
be...
does that mean, Jenny?
Well, Hilliard, I'm glad you asked.
Oh, my God.
Okay, every scene must move the story forward,
mm-hmm.
whether it be with information, whether mm-hmm. it be with... conflict, whether it be starting conflict, ending conflict, mm-hmm. introducing characters, whether it be, as I said, parsing out information, whether it be anything that is moving it forward. Now, in that can also mean that it's a tiny scene that just has a little impact
mm-hmm.
that you move on.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be like people talking about this and we have to go there now and kill
yes.
him. I mean, mm-hmm. Actions speak louder than words. If you can write it in action, don't write it in dialogue.
Thank
if
you
can show
say
it
again.
In
say
action,
it again.
Don't write it in dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
We are going to respond more to what we see and feel than what we hear.
I realize the best TV shows that I watch, like when I go through on my binges and I'm watching new shows or I'm watching any shows that people are recommending to me, the best shows are the ones where when I'm done watching it, I get mad because it's over.
Yeah.
Like, correct. Like stuff is happening mm-hmm. so good and so fast. And like, it could be an hour show. And I feel like,
I've
only been 20. It's like, how is the show done? Oh my God, what's mm-hmm. the next episode?
Yeah.
Like, that's when I know that the writers have not wasted any
right.
scenes.
That's right.
And every scene has done what it's supposed to do. Because at the end, if you're like, I want more.
Right.
I want more. You've done your job. And I can tell right away certain movies and certain TV shows that don't click for me.
Yeah, that's why.
It's because something has happened that has stopped.
Yes.
Either they talking when they should have been moving and doing something in the action scene, or they've wasted a moment and then it's just like, I'm done. You've taken me out.
Yes.
Of the thing.
Well, that's the that is it. And it's and from somebody who reads a lot of
mm-hmm.
scripts every week, I can tell simply by how many times do I get up to talk to the dog? I mean, that's part of it, you know? It's true. I gotta look, like, how many, am I sitting here and I'm enwrapped in the script?
Yes.
Or, you know, am I like, I think there may be some dishes I gotta do. I'll come back to this. Like, that happens.
Like,
and that's
like,
where you go, like, okay, I'm gonna go do those dishes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm gonna come back
mm-hmm.
and see what happened here, mm-hmm. where I got lost. You got to keep your you got to keep your reader reading.
Right.
And and that's hard. I mean,
that's like when Hilliard sent the first draft of this Tulsa script. Like, and I finally got like, he's, I'm sending you 80 pages. Let me know. And I'm like, all right, good. Like, I was mad. The pages went so fast. Mm-hmm. This is 80 pages. And it was so good.
Yeah.
He's here. It was so good. And I was like, there was not a scene in there wasted.
Right.
Everything was moving the story forward. Yeah. And I was just like, where's the rest? So I'm waiting for the rest of it. But it was like,
no
that's
pressure.
When you know it's good. Because it's like, there's nothing wasted.
Yes.
And we talked about it.
Okay, yeah.
Go ahead, finish your thought.
But it's like, that's when you know it's like, it's really good. Like, there's, it's moving, it's doing the work, scenes are moving forward, and it's nothing wasted. And that's it was like, 80 pages went by fast.
Here's the deal. Here's one more before we get to your trick. Is there's a time and a place for exposition. Mm-hmm. Exposition is usually used instead of action. And there is a time and a place where something needs to maybe be explained, some backstory, or instead of using too many flashbacks and blah, 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 that can be interspersed. Not in like, and some people do it in clever ways, like some information might be used on a newscast or to kind of set the scene of what's going on in the world or the time or what's happening. And that's if it's done right, that can work. But writers, we do not want soliloquies from your lead characters about where they came from, what happened, and now where they are, that last page is in
pages. We don't need the Shakespeare monologue to tell us.
Yes. Let's leave Shakespeare to, you know, like Meryl Streep and, you know, Kevin Kline.
Okay.
But let's like say Kevin Kline.
He's still a beast, though.
He's still, yes.
I mean, I know he's not dead, but like, where did that name come from? Yeah, but I mean, you know, my point is that action does not mean Jason Bourne action all the time. Action means moving your story. Mm-hmm. And that means moving location, moving time, moving emotion and process of people's process of, you know, of the story. So when I say action, I don't necessarily mean, you know, running through the streets, getting, you know, shot until they, you know, die.
So I have a couple tricks. Number one, writers have to teach themselves to envision the movie on the screen.
Yes.
Number one, if you can really picture that visually, you will be able to spot where you need rise and fall.
Yeah.
You need moments, and she knows I'm really, like, I write in a sequence approach, right? So I usually have like 8 sequences in a movie. For mine, they're like pretty much every 10 pages, right? So I always end up about 90 to 100, 110 pages, right?
Sounds
all
good.
My scripts.
Good. Don't worry so much about...
No, I'm just generalizing.
No, but I'm just saying to writers, because I see that all the time. Is this enough?
Gotta be,
it's got to be 120 pages. It can't be more.
No.
No. And, write your story.
And you got to have a rise and fall. So what I tend to do is at the end of every sequence is almost like the end of an act. And it's a big cliffhanger.
Yeah.
And then the next moment starts, dust. You know what I mean? Yep. I always, I rise it up and all of a sudden I'm like, now chill for a minute. Now we're going to settle.
That's
now
right.
We're going to solve what happened in the last sequence into this one.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I always do that intentionally. And it makes you just go, you know, and it also gives you a chance to come to a cliff and go, let me go to the bathroom right quick. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because you know I'm about to take you, and you'll understand my pattern in the way that I write. That
I'm happy constantly to go wash the dishes if I'm at that place, but I don't want to do it when you're not ready for me to do it.
Correct. If it's just all action.
Or it's all talk.
Right.
And I think what you said is really, really smart, which is you do have to visualize what you're doing. And sometimes I say that in notes, or I make sure that it's said in notes, which is, you know, there's that rule that's like a page is a minute on the screen or something. If you have a writer, if you have a character talking for 2 pages or something like that, that's you sitting in a theater watching an actor talk at you. Now, there are some movies that works in, like dark comedies and stuff like that, where there's, you're breaking the fourth wall and stuff like that. It usually works with comedy more, unless, or some sort of big legal drama or something like, but even that, you gotta cut this up. You got to keep it moving.
What's the core?
You're not going to, you don't have to lose what you're trying to say. You just have to, you know, keep it moving and not just one scene that says everything. So a lot of the rewriting that I think we encourage focuses on every scene matters. Mm-hmm. What is your emotional connection to the theme? You know, another big thing I find is time. People don't know how to write time very well.
Correct.
And it really can mess up a script. Mm-hmm. And we try to tell people how to do that in certain circumstances. I can't really explain it other than a lot of people, especially, and this happens a lot, obviously, with stuff like sci-fi scripts and stuff where this is not a solid world that we live in. Mm-hmm. So we can't say, you know, in a drama, you do this and this and this, a procedural element of how things work. Mm-hmm. But the writer has made up, you know, something.
The world built.
Built their own world out of their vivid imagination. There are still rules to this script. Right. Mm-hmm. Just because you're in a world that doesn't exist and you can make up everything about it, there still needs to be rules. And part of those rules are how time works. Mm-hmm. Where are we?
Right.
I don't know where I am half the time. And listen, that's not to say if you've got a great sci-fi script, don't send it in, because I'm not the one who picks the winners. Mm-hmm. But, like, I find that, you know, and in fantasy, fantasy and sci-fi tend to be really difficult for writers to find time elements in so that we know where we are, we know what's happening and what happened there and all of this kind of stuff.
It's difficult. You have to build an entire world in,
and
I'm going to say 110
pages. I commend that.
You know what I mean? It's,
I commend that totally.
Yeah.
You know, that's your world.
Any sci-fi script, even if it's you know, got problems, I'm always like, wow, this is, I mean, I can't, you know, that's not me. I don't do that. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't have that imagination for this. So I'm always in awe of writers I'm in awe of writers, just be honest.
Well,
so,
we could tell you love writers, you know, clearly. Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
you know,
I do.
The last 20-some years of your life, you've been, you know, working with writers.
Well, so I do. I love writers, and I really want to help them because it's hard. I don't think people understand how hard it is until they do it. And then a lot of people find it too hard and they stop, or they don't stop. They should, but that's another story. Mm-hmm. But it's the writers, you know, who, it's not just the talented writers who know what they're doing right now, who can take notes and so on, or have it already in play, but the ones who are intimidated by writing and don't know what to do and think no one's going to read this anyway. No. You want somebody to read your script, someone will read your script. We will read your script. You got to pay us a little bit to do it, but we will read it. And you are there.
So I understand. Yes.
You are there. We acknowledge you.
Right.
We acknowledge that you have written this. And we're never going to say this is so horrible, it can't be done, or da-da-da. We're going to, you know, if you want our help, we will give it to you. And I guarantee you it will get you farther. And if it's not this script, and as you know, it doesn't happen. I mean, it happened for Charlie Jones, our grand prize winner on his first script, but I think he even was shocked at that, you know?
See, I'd be curious to know what else he's written.
Poetry. He's a published poet.
And my first script was a Sunday. So, I mean, you just never know what the fuck you're going to do.
He's a published poet, and he continues to be a published poet, and very heavy into music, very influenced into music. So that's where his writing began. But don't give up on writing. If you're passionate about it, don't let the pain or the disappointment of it not being right off the bat. This is come on, people. This is a real process. Damn. Nobody does it. Nobody does it the first time.
People say 10,000 hours. I say 20,000 hours.
Okay. You know,
it takes a while.
Let me just wrap up this a little bit by saying there's an amazing article. It's actually on our Facebook page. It was from Variety because last week marked the 10th anniversary of the amazing movie A Devil Wears Devil
Prada.
Never Wears Prada, which my son, 9-year-old son, saw when he was about 7 and loved it, by the way. I mean, come on. But by the way, that's a great example of, you know, it's a trope. You know, it's a story trope, and I do hate to use that word, but it's one that works. Correct. Like, woman wants to get ahead, is blocked, learns.
Underdog.
Right, underdog.
Yeah, underdog. And it's a great article. I really think that writers should read it because obviously it was based on a book. Mm-hmm. However, they couldn't get this script right. The Devil Wears Prada had to go through, I don't know, about 7 page one rewrites before they could figure out. Yep, read the article. It's amazing. Okay. It's in Variety, and it's on our Facebook page, Finish Line Script Competition.
Sell a bit.
Well, I'm going to sell it a little bit more before we go. Yes. I haven't even mentioned the name of the company. What the heck? But it was a great article, first because I love the script, and I mean, I love the movie, and, you know, everybody... Meryl Streep, Emily Blunt, everybody, and Anne Hathaway contributed to the article. So they talk about how it was made. I mean, they struggled to get that script made. There was no third act. That was all made up.
Wow, really?
You know, it was not in the book. Mm-hmm. The whole thing where she goes to Paris and then ends up leaving, they made it up.
Okay.
Like, they had to figure it out because it wasn't a movie in the book quite yet.
Mm-hmm.
It was a story,
right.
And it was a damn good one. Yeah. But... but it wasn't, and so, you know, think of that, like these great movies that we see that we take for granted that, you know, wow, that was, you know, it's just easy, you know, I got Meryl Streep wanted to do it, you know, blah, 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 all this stuff. Like they had, I mean, it didn't happen easily and everyone has to understand. And these are with Eileen Brosh McKenna. I mean, she had to, you know, she was not, I don't think, the only writer on it in a screenplay form. Everybody has to rewrite.
Right.
It's not, you know, I mean, I follow people on Instagram and stuff. They are, major writers on Instagram, filmmakers, they're posting pictures. I'm on my third rewrite. This is what it looks like.
Yep.
I think that's awesome that they do that. It's not like, hey, I'm magical.
Right. Mm-hmm. It's like, hey, this is me. Here's my coffee cup.
Yep, here's my coffee cup.
Here's the crumpled photos. Here's the cross.
People always ask me when I send them the script, they're always like, this is your first draft? I'm like, well, they don't know. That's my sixth draft by the time I let you read
it. Right. But what we're saying is, for our competition, let us read the earlier draft because we will help you get to that draft where other people can read it and maybe you're the winner or if the very least it's readable.
Correct.
That's why we always say everybody wins in this competition if you use the notes.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't use the notes and your script is great, you may win, but you also may just not do anything. And if you get notes and you don't rewrite, that's your choice.
Mm-hmm.
And that a lot of people did that because life rewriting is time consuming, and it, you know,
and
really got to focus.
It's
a whole craft. It's a whole job, and they may have a family and kids, a full time job that they're doing this.
True.
But there were scripts where I was like, oh, please send in a rewrite of the notes, please, because you're close, you're so close, and they didn't, and I was just like, oh, please, you know, but. Some of those scripts actually went on to win other comic. I mean,
wow.
I'm proud of it. I'm immensely proud of it. Let me also say one
last thing.
5% of our earnings go to charity of the grand prize winner's choice.
Oh, good.
Yep.
That's nice.
Yeah.
I like that.
I was just like, we were sitting at a cafe, Michael Patterson and I, who he was my partner, and we're like, what else can we do? What else can we do to make this?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and we're just like, let's give it away, man. Let's like, you know, we'll keep enough so that we can, you know, pay our rent and be, you know,
sustain.
Feel good.
Right.
Come back next year.
Come back next year,
right.
Exactly. And 5%. So we gave him 5% of our total winnings.
That's good.
And he divided it between two charities, both in the UK.
It's art and activism.
That's good.
And it just made me feel, I mean,
you
know, you got to do stuff that makes you feel good these days.
True.
Mm-hmm.
True.
Do it. So.
Well, thank you, Jenny. We appreciate it.
You're welcome. I don't think I've mentioned the screen. Can I
do
the plug?
I'm about to say.
Yes, yes.
All
right.
Tell us where you are.
Where you are. Give us all the words. Where can we find you?
Give us all your sites and whatnot.
The screenplay, the competition is called The Finish Line Script Competition at www.finishlinescriptcomp or competition, finishlinescriptcompetition.com.
Yeah.
We are available through filmfreeway.com.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go there and search for us.
Without a box?
Not without a box, sorry.
Oh, really? Okay.
Only Film Freeway.
Mm-hmm.
So you can go there and search for us, or you can go to our site and see what we're all about. We got lots of great testimonials and press that we've had. Scriptmag.com did a piece on Charlie, who won last year. And we got, you know, we were in the Wrap and stuff like that. So, yeah. And our prices are very reasonable. We're on Facebook, Finish Line Script Competition, Twitter, Finish Line Script without the T, so we could fit it on. We do a lot of stuff on Twitter. We have an Instagram account, which is, you know, just go into the Finish Line Script Competition. And we are in the early bird phase of our competition. So if you want to rewrite, this is a good time to enter because it gives you a long time to work on that draft. We give you notes turnaround in about 72 hours.
Wow.
Six pages in about 72 hours.
Wow.
Yeah.
I thought it was like a week or two.
Okay, that's like at least a week or so.
Yeah, I mean, if it's really, really crazed, it's a week, but it's usually about 72 hours. So you're not sitting around, you've forgotten. Like, we want you to work on this.
Right.
We're going to help you. So
that's good.
So if you enter and you get notes, you can start to resubmit.
Mm-hmm.
And then get more notes or not, or be happy with what you've resubmitted and that, and just say to us, this is the one we want you to, you know, judge off of.
Okay. Cool.
And that's how it works. So finishlinescriptcompetition.com, we're all over the place.
Can they follow you on Twitter or anything?
No.
Okay.
I'm finishlinescript.
Okay.
It's me.
Where are you at, Lisa Colt Jam?
You can always find me on Twitter. I'm either tweeting under the tag of Saturday Night Sci-Fi with the whole nerd fam with Geek Soul Brother, or Friday Night Horror. Black Girl Nerd stuff, all the good stuff that's out there. I mean, usually like my best favorite TV shows, Vikings, and all the new shows that are coming back for the second season. But I'm always on Twitter. I'm a Twitter fiend. I have a problem.
The first step is acknowledging.
But I don't think it's a problem. It's because there's so many amazing people on there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times, in terms of writing and stuff, I get a lot of great info from people. And just talking to other writers online really helps, especially when you're trying to get through a third act or a second act and get into the hump. And sometimes you need to go talk to some peeps and get through that. So you can always find me. Hit me up. In the old days, I used to tell people, don't follow me on Twitter.
Why?
Because my shenanigans was just, I was just shenanigans.
You're getting yourself into trouble?
You just never know. Because people always say, oh, skip writing. I talk about all kinds of crazy stuff. And it's just, I just want people to understand, it's shenanigans.
Yeah.
It's shenanigans.
By the way, I do want to say, we do screenplays and TV pilots.
And TV pilots.
Yeah, and we're very actually kind of TV heavy on the pros this year. Well, more than we were last year, at least, I would say. Not heavy, but kind of equal.
Okay.
So I'd love to get a great pilot in the winner's
circle
this
year.
So, I mean, it's not all about screenplays. Mm-hmm. We'd love to get...
So those people, TV pilots, come on now.
Yeah.
Send them in.
Is it one of those shows, one of those competitions where if you've made a certain amount of money, you can't submit? Or
if your script,
I know there's a lot of them that do that.
Yeah.
Your script cannot be somebody else's script now. It can't have been optioned by somebody. It has to be still your own.
Right.
But beyond that, everything's free and clear.
Okay.
We want to read
we
want to help you. And if you don't need our help, that's great too. Mm-hmm. That's fine. But if you need our help, we are here.
And I think this is a great opportunity, especially for those of you who normally just write screenplays and you want to write a TV pilot, you know. It's a good way to transition, especially when you get
a new ball of wax.
Yeah, and especially if you're getting some notes, and then you can get more notes by sending it back in. I think you should take advantage of this, you know?
Well, thank you.
You know, so those of you out there, especially those of you who are outside the United States, which they said last year, like all their winners were like, not even from America, which is awesome because there's great stories out there.
England. India and Australia, is that
right? Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Look, listen, send it in, people.
Mm-hmm. And then finishlinescriptcompetition.com.
Exactly.
Tweet that out for people.
And I'm your host, Hilliard Guest. You guys can find me on Twitter at Hilliard Guest. Follow the show, Screenwriters RR, on Twitter. Little disclaimer, if you hear a bunch of crackling, that was Jenny's little son eating all my candy. I'll see you over there. Any questions, screenwritersrantroom@gmail.com. Big shout out to all the countries out there. We appreciate you guys following us. We love you. Look for me on the cover of the new top 100 indie writers in the world book.
Nice.
Coming out, I think, this week, I believe. And I'm going to be on a panel at the Writers Guild Tuesday. What's up?
I just want to say one more thing.
Go ahead.
Oh, I don't want to interrupt you. I just want to wait.
Oh, they don't care about me.
They heard the same
thing. Go ahead, Jenny.
I'm really excited to say this. It hasn't been published yet, but I know it's happening. Stephanie Palmer's goodinaroom.com.
Oh, yes, yeah, Stephanie.
Mm-hmm. We are on her top 10 script competitions this year.
Good. That's good.
It hasn't come out yet, but it will probably in the next few weeks.
Good.
And Script Angel in the UK on our top, also on the top script competitions in the US, good. UK.
Yes.
So we got some cred.
Yes.
We're trying to build some more. Will you be a part of it, please?
Hey, Script Angel.
How
you doing? Yes.
Script Angel, I think that's Script Angel 1 on Twitter.
All right, cool. And
awesome.
Good in a room. Thank you, Stephanie.
Stephanie, we have Stephanie, Stephanie come in.
Yeah, we
got to
have her
come in. I love it.
Right. Yeah, shit like that.
That is it. That is the shit.
Exactly. So y'all know how we do it on a rent room. If you guys are, I'm about to say if you guys are grown. I've lost my mind. On this show, we keep it real.
Mm-hmm.
We keep it opinionated. We keep it what, everybody?
2017.
Let's make it happen.
Ciao, ciao.
Yeah, man, I got something to get off my chest.
Everyone got one. What's your opinion? This is the rant room. Tongues won't be bit. Ain't no rules, just spill it. And anybody can get it. No limit. We get to kill it. You tuning into the thrillers. And no, ain't no stopping. Any topic, even the random.
We get to win.
I hope that you're ready. We entering in the zone soon. We only grown shit. Welcome to the Ram Room.